House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 22, 2016, the 11th day of the session. Today is the last day for second reading in the House of Origin, and tomorrow is the last day for third reading in the House of Origin. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by the Reverend Daniel Mays, representing First Christian Church Disciples of Christ.
Please pray with me. God of wide and boundless creation, we thank you for the beauty and diversity of your creation, the majestic handiwork we see around us in this great land, and the array of peoples whom inhabit it. Grant wisdom, we pray, to these women and men in these hours ahead, as they consider the business of this state. May the hopes and dreams, the privileges and responsibilities, and the common well-being of all Wyomingites be in the forefront of our consciousness. We pray with desire for understanding, with thanksgiving for our freedom, and with hope for our future together. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 19, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to take note of the fact we have a new student page, Isabella Alvarez. Isabella, would you stand up, please? Well, welcome to the house. I just hope you still like us when this is over. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Well, you know, it's very seldom that I get visitors down here. But today I'm honored to introduce the former president of the Coroner's Board, a retired colonel from the National Guard, and just a whole bunch of other good stuff. My brother in the front row of the gallery, Dr. Robert Byrd.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for those who know our Wyoming Business Council representative in the west central part of the state, Roger Bauer, he serves Teton and Fremont and I think Sublette counties. He had an accident a month or so ago, fell down a hole at one of his family's properties, like 20 feet, landed on his face. He broke 20 bones, and he was in the hospital in Casper. He's in the hospital in Denver now, and I visited him this weekend down in Denver and just wanted to report that Roger's doing excellent and sends his regards and is excited to get back to work. I couldn't get him sidelined. He wanted to talk about what the business council was doing and the good things that we're doing. And I'll tell you, that one amendment I did on the committee of the House Bill 1 to require someone from the business council to go to that meeting, Roger's the one I've told for years that we need to send a rep there. And so finally they're going to have to. Roger wants to be that rep, but I don't know if the leader of that group will let him. He might go himself.
Representatives, I'm a little leery of this. Representatives Northrop and Larson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
You guys going to sing a duet, or what are you going to do?
Oh, privilege of the floor. Sorry.
Oh, privilege. Okay. Sorry. Great. Great. Thank you. Please proceed. Yeah.
I would like to tag team with my representative, the local, on introduction in the back in the
fishbowl.
Fishbowl.
We have two people from the Park County School District number one, trustees that came up. We'd just like to introduce them. Will you guys stand up? We have Jason Wardell and Greg Borcher.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We thought we'd follow suit and tag team. We'd like to introduce our good president from EWC.
Dr. Rick Patterson in the back.
Representative Pipirinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, please.
In the back of the fishbowl in the hallway is our business manager from Uinta County School District number one, John Williams. Can you wave, John?
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Yes, please.
You know, I just can't seem to get away from work because my boss is here keeping tabs on me. But I'd like to introduce Mr. Clark Fairbanks. Clark, if you'd stand up in the back. He is the former director of the Wyoming Girls School and is the assistant executive director for the Yes House in Gillette. So, welcome.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not very often that somebody comes from Sweetwater County, but in the fishbowl is the Rock Springs Airport manager, Devin Brubaker. Welcome to the House.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Mr. Speaker, back in the fishbowl, we have the privilege today of having three members of our Hot Springs County School District Board of Trustees. What we have is our Superintendent Dustin Hunt and Ms. Nicole Wire and Ms. Jen Axtell. And so if you just welcome them to the House. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Actually, also in the fishbowl is the town administrator of Jackson, Bob McLaurin, he is chaperoning members of Leadership Jackson Hole who have come down here to see just how efficient we are. Welcome them to the House, please.
The doctor of the day is David Fall from Gillette. The nurse of the day is Cynthia Woods, Platte County Memorial Hospital. Please welcome them to the House. Representative Freeman, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We also have two educators from Green River, Annalisa Robinson and Madeline Bonnabell, if you'd welcome them to the House.
We're now at that order of business. The Senate file is on first reading. The first file for our consideration is Senate File 40. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 40 from Appropriations, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds.
Senate File 40 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 41 from Appropriations, an act relating to state-funded facilities.
Senate File 41 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 68. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 68 from Appropriations, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 68 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 75. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 75 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 75 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next file for our consideration is Senate File 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 76 from Representative Hicks, an act relating to trade and commerce.
Senate File 76 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 9. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 9 from Transportation, an act relating to railroad quiet zones.
Senate File 9 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 1.
Senate
that would be...
May I continue?
The reading clerk will read the bill.
Thank you. Senate File 1 from Appropriations, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2016 and ending June 30th, 2018.
Senate File 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 17, Notice of Mineral Property Transfer, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Madden. Those who voted no, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kenner, Laux, Reeder, Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kenner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 21, Mineral Tax Archaic Provisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kenner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 29, Engrossed, Legislator Participation in State Benefit Plans, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Kasparyk, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters, Edmonds voted no, and Gay was excused, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen, just hang on here for about 30 seconds, please. Members of the House, I'd like to take a moment this morning to recognize the newly formed Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative. To honor this organization and their efforts, our very own Representative Throne will be presenting a joint resolution signed by the members of the 63rd Wyoming Legislature. Joining us on the floor to accept this resolution are two of the outstanding members of the initiative's advisory team, Mary Osland and Lori Heath. Please help me in welcoming them to the chamber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will read the resolution, and then Lori Heath and Mrs. Osland will just make a few brief remarks. A joint resolution providing recognition of the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative, a new organization to increase breast cancer awareness and prevention across Wyoming. Be it resolved by the 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative builds on previous efforts in Wyoming to raise awareness and educate Wyoming residents about breast cancer, and whereas this initiative emphasizes increasing breast health education, financially assisting breast cancer screenings, facilitating patient navigation, and promoting survivor recognition, and whereas 100% of funds raised through the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative remain in Wyoming and provide grants to existing health partner programs, and whereas a group of dedicated volunteers from across the state have formed the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative Advisory Team, who with many more volunteers will plan and execute the March 19th 52 Cups for Cancer and the August 6th inaugural Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run. Funds raised by the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative will be granted to health programs throughout the state in November 2016. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Section 1. The members of the Wyoming legislature encourage residents to support this important cause by volunteering and participating in the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative's activities throughout the year to increase breast cancer awareness and prevention in our state. The Wyoming legislature hereby recognizes and commends the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative for their important work and dedication to Wyoming residents. That this resolution be presented to the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative to recognize the significant impact the organization has on the state's residents. Signed on the 22nd day of February, 2016, Phil Nicholas, President of the Wyoming Senate, Kermit Brown, Speaker of the Wyoming House of Representatives. So, Lori, if you would, who's accepting the resolution? Really happy to have Lori here. She's really the mastermind behind this effort, and I'm happy to present her with the resolution.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. This is really an honor for our team, and we really appreciate the opportunity to receive this recognition and to speak with you about the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative. Again, my name is Laurie Heath, and I'm the president of a volunteer advisory team. We also have a very strong volunteer events committee. And also wanted to introduce, of course, Mrs. Mary Offlin. She's the wife of the late Senator John Offlin from Campbell County. She's also a survivor. Also have a special treat because her granddaughter is going to be our guest author at one of our first events in March 19th, 52 Cups for Cancer, because her granddaughter wrote a book, 52 Cups of Coffee. It's definitely a must attend. It's going to be in Cheyenne at the Laramie County Library. And you should have information at your desk about that. So I just wanted to provide a little bit of background so you understand where we're coming from. As most of you know, Susan G. Komen was in Wyoming for 20 years and made a great effort towards breast cancer awareness and prevention. And due to national reorganization requirements, they are going to be required to pull out of Wyoming. So when we heard about this, we had this group of volunteers. We just decided that we needed to continue the efforts. And what I'll explain to you is, for a long time, Wyoming was 50th in the state. We were the worst in the state for breast cancer screening. But now we're 48th. Woo! So we're not much better. But it does prove that what we were doing was working. And so there was momentum, and we didn't want to let it end. And the best news is all the money we raise in Wyoming will stay in Wyoming. Currently, we're granting across the state. So we hope to continue with some efforts across the state to help in the health organizations that are continuing the same efforts that we would commit to. But what I need from you, I would like you to take the information I gave you and give it to your health organizations in your communities or private groups that are working for breast health and let them know what we're doing, have them reach out to us so we can partner with them and we know what their needs are and we can meet their needs through the grants that we're going to be giving. We also need you to volunteer and to help with the events. We would love for you to help donate and sponsor some of the events, whether through the legislature or through your own businesses. But as you know, there's always a competition. So for this year, at the Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run, the House will be competing against the Senate. So you'll be receiving some information by email, so you can register, and we'll be announcing the winner through our social media and through the paper and different things after the race on August 6th. So we really appreciate your involvement. But mostly we really would like you to take this message back to your communities so we can definitely meet the needs of all across Wyoming. So just a reminder of just another touch on a few of the events coming up. March 19th, 52 Cups for Cancer. It's going to be a very amazing event at the Laramie County Library. And then August 6th, the Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run, which you'll be hearing more about. I wanted to recognize a few people that are in the gallery. Emery and Dave Pickard are part of our volunteer advisory team. They're in the lobby now, sorry. Peg Osland is also on the side here. She's on our advisory team. We have a number of people. I'm sure I missed some. Again, we have a great race team, events team, all volunteer, and it really they're making a difference. And Sandy Peterson actually was a longtime committer. I don't know the right word now. that didn't sound right. But a longtime supporter of Komen and breast cancer and breast health in Wyoming. And so, again, we have the A-team on this list. Our advisory team is made up of Bobby Barrasso, Susan Thomas, of course, our wonderful Mary Throne, who are all survivors also. So there's an affinity across Wyoming for pink and for breast cancer health. So on behalf of all of us, we are sincerely grateful, and we appreciate the recognition, and we appreciate your support. So thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Throne.
Thank you. I want to thank this group for their efforts, and I know we have a lot of survivors besides me out there. So just know that it's an important effort to continue. Sorry. So sorry. And so glad to have an old friend here and a valiant breast cancer survivor herself, and also Sandy, who's been so much to all of us. Thank you.
Ms. Osland and Ms. Heath and Representative Throne, we appreciate your taking the time to join us, and thank you for your tremendous efforts and dedication to the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative. We wish you the best of luck with your events this year. Chairman's Wanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to do a re-referral.
Yes, please.
Your committee number 8 would like to re-refer Senate File 11 to your committee number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 11 is re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill
House Bill 6 from Representative Pinnell, an act relating to the Victim and Witness Bill of Rights.
There is an amendment. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move Amendment Number 1 to second reading of House Bill 2. And all it is changing the effective date to immediately. I'm very proud of the bringer of this bill. It's a great bill, and it was exciting to see him bring it. And he's in agreement with this, I believe, that if we could make this effective immediately instead of July 1st, it would be better for everybody. Thank you.
Representative Pinnell, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I consider it a friendly amendment and have no problems with it. Thank you.
Any more discussion on the bill? On the amendment? I'm sorry. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 6. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment is passed. House Bill 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 11 for Minerals, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 17 from Representative Barlow, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 19. House reading clerk will read the bill.
Excuse me. House Bill 19 from Statewide Education, an act relating to statewide student assessment.
There are amendments. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the 63rd, what this amendment does is eliminate the Select Accountability Committee and replaces it with the Joint Education Committee for the duties that it would have. So the reason I'm bringing this is, so I went in committee, we brought an amendment, the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. We came in, it was going to reauthorize the Select Committee. And I actually, when I went into appropriations with the bill, I was asked the question, do we still need it? And I made the case, yes, and then I got to thinking about it. And I really think what's left to do, we can handle with the Joint Education Committee. I think the biggest work is being done, has been done. Phase 2 probably is going to morph into something else. Phase 1's pretty well in place. We have the alternative accountability piece going on, but it may add a couple more meetings to Joint Education, but I think it's just duplicative. So I would ask for your support, but I think it's time that Select Committee retired.
Chairman Northrop, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm mildly opposed to this. Education already has 9 interim subjects going on. We're going to take at least 4 meetings to get through that. If we add accountability onto the top of it, it's going to add probably at least 1 or 2 more meetings onto that list. There's not much savings other than that we might lose 1 meeting out of the whole thing. So, but Joint Education is going to be pushed up with a pretty full calendar at that time. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, I had the opportunity to sit on Education Accountability for its first 4 years. I have not been on the last 2 years, but there, you know, this is about the most inefficient way to run an interim topic that there is, that you have significant overlap between Education Committee and the Select Committee. So you have duplication of people sitting in on both meetings, but not all the people. So some of the people hear part of the testimony, but not all the testimony. And yet, ultimately, Joint Education is the one that has to sign off on any of the products of Select Committee. They only met 3 times this last interim. this, you know, if this is an important topic, and I believe it is, then joint education will have the time to hear it. And they'll have, if they're the ultimate arbiter on the recommendations that come out, I just think this is a great step in the right direction. We have overtaxed our staff. We've overtaxed ourselves on these select committees and task forces. And this makes sure that we focus joint education on this topic and it gets the attention that it needs and doesn't sort of wait till the last minute. So I appreciate the bringer thinking this through and bringing this amendment, and I'd ask for your aye vote on it.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ditto to the last speaker. I've been going to both of the committees for 2 years now, 3 years now, and I just think it's time for the Joint Education Committee to take over the wheel.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in favor of the amendment. I, too, served on the first 4 years. In fact, I brought the first accountability bill in 2009, and I think it's the select committee's run its course. Did a lot of heavy lift to get this phase one off, which everybody, I think, across the state has supported and recognized it as a valid and reliable and measure of school performance. Much better than the previous No Child Left Behind, and that was really our goal all along. And I think that goal has been accomplished, and that will continue a refinement process. But really, the select committee is going to be tasked with phase two, if that happens. And that's the real hard part. And I if it was easy, everybody in the country would be doing it. And frankly, nobody really is very well. But and I'll just tell you, the last go-around, we select committee did all this work, and House Education changed it all anyway. So, on in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gurr.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I, too, am in favor. And for a couple of reasons, I usually give my annual speech on select committees. So this is the proper time to do that. We need to look at all these select committees, find out when they've done their work, and get the work back to our interim committees. If you're appointed to an interim committee, when you come into the legislature, you're believing that's the work that you're supposed to be doing. And it's disheartening to find there's a select committee out there working on the most important issue. And then the select committee brings its own bill without vetting it through the interim committee. Now, there are reasons, good reasons for select committees, but when those reasons are done, we need to stand up and say, okay, enough's enough. Let's get this back to the interim committee, which is our base process. So that's my last speech on it this year, but I just needed to give it. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The last thing I'll mention on this is when No Child went away and ESA, which I can never remember what the acronym stands for completely, but when ESA was enacted, it basically took away a lot of the accountability requirements in there, and so we're going to be dealing with a little bit of that, but for the very reasons the good representative from the Bighorn Basin just talked about, I think it's time we just let Joint Ed do this work. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 19. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring second amendment reading number 2 to House Bill 19. And what, just to ask for your favorable consideration, this is an easy one. It's a cleanup of some language. We struck reading and inserted English language arts. And as you see, that's just what it is all the way through. It's just a cleanup amendment.
Question. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 19. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 has passed the House. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19 and ask for your favorable support. Members, I just delivered hot off the press in your tray. I think truly a picture's worth 1,000 words, maybe 2,000 in this case, certainly more than 15 seconds. But if you can find that, and really you can see the amendment's very short. It's on page 13, and I would really like to speak off the chart. And this is about measuring in really high school, school-wide performance. And previously we've taken 9th, 10th, and 11th grade testing. And so you can see how kids move. Once they've gone to your high school, you can see if you're making a difference. 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, are they moving through it? And I won't go into all this accountability, but there's basically four major components. And what this bill proposes to do is eliminate 11th grade out of the mix. And so your high school in your town will get your 8th graders into high school, and then they'll be tested in 9th and 10th grade, and that's going to measure your school. And I guess my point was that we really don't – I'd like to see them get about three-quarters of the way through high school to see what kind of difference you're making for kids. And you know, a year from now we're going to decide what test and how it's going to be and all that. This isn't anything to do with that. This is just about whether we want 11th graders in this measures of school-wide performance. And so if you look on your chart, kind of in the second half, lower half down here, you can see the three boxes that have diagonal lines. And so that's what I'm proposing to bring back. And this is what we're currently doing. And you can see the first one is growth. Okay, so it would be a measure of growth in 11th grade, achievement, the second box, and then down to the bottom, equity, how you're doing with your toughest at-risk kids. And so that's really the idea, is to kind of continue this the way we've been doing. I think it's been very successful. I look at the data. I work in a high school, and it's interesting to see how in some subjects kids who, the longer they stay with us, you can just see we're making a real positive impact in certain subject areas. And then you see other areas, and you go, geez, I don't know if we're having that same impact. And that's what drives this whole change in growth in schools, is using this data. And I think by chopping off a third of the data, I think is going to help, not help us. And this has nothing to do with the amount of testing, any of those kind of things. This is just what we're going to use if we're going to use the 11th grade assessment. So I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Just to give a little background, I'm not going to speak on or against this amendment. It's really a policy decision. But just so everybody understands, when the assessment task force was formed, the recommendations that they initially came out with and handed off to the Joint Education Committee was that the ACT should be optional in 11th grade. They didn't want to see the ACT mandatory. And they had that for a variety of reasons. One being they were concerned about using the ACT for accountability purposes, primarily because the ACT, at least in the past, the good chairman of appropriations and I have had this conversation, at least in the past, the ACT was not aligned to our standards. You know, going forward, as ACT develops their suite of tools, it likely will be more so. But that was, and so when it came into committee, we had this discussion, and it was decided there was a voice in the committee that wanted to make ACT mandatory. We don't call it ACT. We can't call it ACT. We call it college readiness or college placement examination. We can't use the terminology, but just so everybody understands what it is, there was a faction in that committee that wanted the ACT to remain mandatory in Wyoming to see how we were doing year after year. And so there was an amendment brought forth. It passed committee, and then it came to this body. So this is just a further discussion of that ACT piece and how that career placement test is utilized in our assessment system. So I'm going to leave it to that, and if the good chair of education or something wants to make a comment. But that was the discussions that occurred in committee, and it really is a policy decision.
Representative Connolly, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just a question for the bringer, just so that I understand the amendment. When I look at the amendment, it looks to me like you're getting rid of the, we'll just call it the ACT, the college readiness test in grade 11, but then inserting the 204C Romanet 3, which would be the ACT in grade 9 or 10. And is that the case, and could you explain that just a little bit more?
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Northrop.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give you some more information, if you look at 21-2204, and B is a standard college readiness test in grade 11, and if you go down to 21-204C with three little I's, its readiness is defined by the standardized college readiness test. Just let making sure everybody knows what we're talking about.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the job, in my day job, students having an ACT score is very important to their senior year to make decisions on taking college classes during their senior year and to give them information to where that they know where they are at in terms of college readiness. I think that the more students we have taken that test to where they have an impartial, if lack of a better word, evaluation is important. The test will also allow them to take more advanced classes if they have a high enough score, such as calculus. So before we throw out a test, I think it is a policy decision, and we should think about the advantages of keeping the test.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question because I'm not that involved with the education and both my kids have finally graduated from high school. Do we not require a certain level of ACT test for the Hathaway scholarship, really all levels? And if we gave 11th graders the opportunity to not take the ACT, could it not happen that a year or a year and a half later they might suddenly realize that they had missed out on the opportunity to be eligible for this program? Just to clarify that.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I just want to be clear, and the bringer of the amendment can clarify this. We're getting rid of it at 11, and we're requiring it for both 9 and 10. At least that's the way I read these two, but I need that clarified. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And I think I'll let the good bringer of the amendment clarify that issue, but I think he leaves in the 11th grade as well, so it's 9th, 10th, and 11th. Once again, what I'm going to ask the bringer of the bill to speak to is that piece where educators, really what this amendment does is require 9th, 10th, and 11th be related in a college, kind of a college placement type of test, and then it's used for accountability purposes. So that's the question that was brought to us by educators, is the fact that our standards, that sometimes those college placement tests do not align to our standards, and that's why they were concerned about using that particular set of tests for accountability purposes. So, once again, it is a policy decision, and I waver back and forth on it, but I would like the good bringer to address that particular question.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate all the questions. I think I've written them all down here, and we'll be able to kind of go down these. And I think the good representative from Sublette just kind of nailed most of those questions. And so Again, this doesn't require or repeal any more testing that's currently in the bill. It's just how we use the 11th grade test. And the good representative from Sublette's pointed out then that these would be correlated together. They would be a system together. So we wouldn't have a different 9th grade test or a different 10th and a different 11th that we'd somehow be able to, the money we spend, because we've got this money in the bill and we're going to spend it to do this, that it all flows together. A lot of talk has been about this career college test, and we're probably, I'll say it because everybody else has said it, the ACT. I don't know that that's a done deal. That will all go out to bid again next year, and there's other competitors out there. And the ACT's been in the state with the Hathaway, you know, for the last 10 years. But that's not a done deal. This will go out for proposals. And so, and there's other private proposals out there that would probably fit the bill. So I think that'll be decided after this next year. But again, the good representative from Sublette, to tie these in for with the 9th and 10th grade test, to have the 11th grade test that they're going to take anyway. It's already in this bill. And this is about a measurement of your school, your local high school. So giving your local high school 3 years to kind of work on kids and get the true measurement of their body of work, three-quarters of their high school career, and not just through their 9th and 10th grade year and say, hey, your school is exceeding or failing or whatever. I think it's the right and fair thing to do to give schools a little more time to work their plan and as they educate the kids that come through. Again, this does nothing to change the 11th grade tests. It's already required in this bill. It's just whether we're going to use it as we currently are. We're currently doing this. I'm just trying to continue the current policy with growth, achievement, and equity. And I just think it's really important. And so I think I answered all those questions. I think the good minority floor leader pointed out, again, that I delete the sections that are in Section 2 that are slated to be repealed. So that's what I'm doing. It's kind of it's delete the repealed sections so they won't be repealed. Just so there's no confusion about that. So I hope I answered all the questions, and I encourage your adoption of this. And if we need more discussion on third reading, love to do that, but I really think this is an important policy for our high schools across the state. So appreciate your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19 has passed. House Bill 19 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 20 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to state public purpose investments.
House Bill 20 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21.
House Bill 21 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to state public purpose investments.
There is an amendment. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 21. Folks, we have a little trip down memory lane. About 100 different topics ago, we had this discussion on this particular work of your Management Audit Committee. We had a report come out, I believe it was last August of 2015, that looked at a number of these public purpose investment vehicles, and we removed quite a few from the statutes. The bill came up this session, was assigned to committee number 7. They came back with recommendations to keep 3 of the programs that management audit had recommended we get rid of. One of them we really couldn't consider because it actually expired in 2001. The second one we handled under committee of the whole amendment, and this is the one I promised to bring back on second reading. And this one applies to your local government bond guarantee program. I frankly have heard from folks in my county. I know some of you may have heard from folks in your county to possibly consider retaining this. And what the local government bond guarantee program does, it was created in 94, was identified as a possible candidate for repeal for the following reasons. First, the program has not been used since inception. Sounds like a good policy to get rid of it then. Approximately 20 years, and as a result, there were no outstanding bond guarantees. Second, at the time of inception, state officials surveyed local governments, but did not receive any interest in the program. Third, during the evaluation, the state treasurer's office noted that the program was not operational because of the necessary IRS approval had never been sought by the state. Fourth, at the time of the evaluation, the state treasurer's office indicated the state would not pursue the necessary IRS approval and supported consideration for the repeal of the program. So if we vote to retain this, there's going to have to be some work done by our Secretary of State's office to get IRS approval. I'm going to vote no, but our committee number 7 asks us to reconsider this, and I know some of you have heard from folks in your county, so it's kind of a policy decision. Do we want to keep this program in place that hasn't been used since inception, or do we want to give counties a chance to use it? That's it.
Chairman Johnson, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I will speak in favor of the amendment, as our committee does support it. We did hear from the state treasurer's office. What this does in a very simple form, although we haven't used it for 20 years, is if a county is having difficulty, this allows them to get bond with the credit of the state. And so arguably the investment rating of the state of Wyoming as a whole would be better if a county was struggling. We haven't needed to use this statute in 20 years. We've had a great last 15 where we haven't really bonded for much. But if things continue to get bad in our economy, you know, and a certain county is having difficulty with a capital project, they may need to use it. And so it's another tool in the toolbox. And although we haven't used it yet and we hope we don't have to, we may need to. And I would ask for you to keep it in statute at least for a while longer, especially if we have difficult times ahead.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to be clear, an aye vote retains the program and goes against what the management audit study did. A no vote agrees with the management study audit, and we repeal and get rid of this program. It's no longer there. So I'm still voting no, but again, I've heard from at least one person in my county, and I know some other folks here have heard from their counties, but you know, 20 years ago, we were not in the greatest financial shape either, and they didn't use it during those 5 years before we got into these boom years. So maybe it's still not the right program, and we need to look at the other types of programs we have available.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 21. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 21 has failed. House Bill 21, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 27. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 27 from the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 27, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 29. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 29 from the Management Council, an act relating to the revision of inadvertent errors.
House Bill 29, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 30 from the Management Council, an act relating to the general revision of laws.
House Bill 30, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 39, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 39, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 40 from Representative Steinmetz, an act relating to watercraft.
There is an amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill number 40, second reading amendment. Folks, this is, you might recall, this bill has to do with the driving a boat while under the influence. And this is really kind of a policy precision that I brought here before us today. You know, I've never been a big fan of the enhancement penalties that you have in some of these type of statutes. And so what this does is if you go to page 4, and it eliminates those enhancements if you happen to be over the age of 18 or if you have someone of younger age on the boat, and then in taking that after a second offense, going directly to a felony. And I do it for lots of different reasons. But to start off with, you know, driving a boat is a little bit different than a car. A 6-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old can drive a boat fairly easily once you get in the water and you're doing your recreational activities. And so it's a different type of a setting that is than a vehicle. And so to put them to me on even ground is really not a fair thing. And then if you take the average recreational components to a lot of folks that are boating, you know, they'll have their coolers, they'll have their assortments, and they'll go out and they'll camp on an island, sleep out, have a bonfire, and you've got kids running around on jet skis. And the likelihood that at some point in time that you may be a 0.1 or a 0.08 or between a 0.1, you're actually kind of waiting to sober up to get on your boat to go home. It's just one of those things that I just think we have to be caution. We have to have a cautionary measure, particularly on the enhanced penalties where it's a felony and where you automatically go to jail if you get pulled over and you got over a 0.8 on a boat when you've just because you've got your 13-year-old son sitting there with you. And you know, theoretically, on a boat, you can turn the craftsmanship over to your son who's 13 years old and he can legally drive that boat depending on what body of water he is. And so I'm just thinking, let's hold back a little bit. We've been on an agenda to make all types of alcohol penalties greater and greater and greater. And we've got overcrowded prisons. We've got jails that are, we're spending $20 million to expand them and to enlarge them. And this is, you know, these are automatic penalties without a chance to really understand all those situations. And I just think that the enhanced penalties just goes too far. So I'd just like you to reconsider the enhancement portion. It doesn't take away the 0.08. So if you're still 0.08 on a boat, it's still a misdemeanor, and you still have the loss of your license and with your vehicle. So just food for thought, and I consider your favorable vote. Thanks.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are you purposely mispronouncing my name, Mr. Speaker?
I am.
That's what I thought. And I probably deserve that.
You do.
Okay. I rise in support of this amendment. And also, I too have consistently argued against enhancements. And a couple of things I want to point out in addition to the sponsor is when we're talking about watercraft, the Game and Fish, by statute, has the ability to stop and inspect in a statutory duty to do so. And they stop and they'll inspect and make sure you've got your stickers and that you've got your fire extinguisher and a flotation device, and it's a health and safety check. So, we then start having enhanced criminal penalties where there isn't probable cause for the stop to look at it. And that's a consideration in looking at this as well. The other thing, too, I look at, in particular, the second penalty going right to a felony concerns me a little bit more because as I read this, and maybe I'm wrong from the sponsor of the bill can correct me, but we look at if someone had a DUI with a vehicle 4 years ago, and then they're out on the lake and they're pulling their wife water skiing and they got some kids in the boat and they get stopped and he blows a 0.8. They get stopped because they're doing the safety check. He blows a 0.8. Because he's got that prior DUI with his vehicle, he's now going to jail. You know, and I understand the tragedy behind this bill. And so these are tough to argue against, but we really do have to look at what are the repercussions of all the bills we bring. And you also have to trust in the fact that our prosecutors have the tools at their discretion when there are extreme cases. And those prosecutors use their discretion in those cases. And, you know, when there are deaths and terrible injuries, there's reckless endangerment. There are multiple vehicles in which to proceed with the prosecution when the circumstances require it. So I think making the blood alcohol level consistent does not concern me at all. I think that's appropriate. But these enhanced penalties do give me a great deal of concern. And, you know, I point out a couple of maybe unintended consequences that maybe the body didn't consider.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to kind of talk a little bit about that previous speaker from the land of the great chief. I think that if you look on page 5, line 20, when it talks about what he was talking about, if you had a previous conviction for driving while under the influence, it would only relate to 315233M. And that is the provision of Wyoming law that allows for an enhanced penalty for a first offense, driving while under the influence with a child in the car. So if you have an ordinary driving under the influence and there's no child in the car, the maximum penalty on a first offense would be a $750 fine, 6 months in jail. Under provision 315233M, that enhances the penalty on a first offense to a 1 year in the detention center, 1 year in a county jail, and a $1,000 fine. So it wouldn't necessarily, under the current statutory language, it wouldn't necessarily mean that it would qualify for a felony enhancement if you previously had a single regular type DUI without a child in the car. So what this provision does is allow for, if you previously have a boating under the influence at a .08 with a child on the boat, or you had a previous driving under the influence with a child in the car, then those enhanced penalties would apply. And that would be the 5 year, up to 5 years in the penitentiary, and all of the collateral consequences that would occur with a felony. So I think that this is really a judgment call for the body. Obviously, the existing statute for driving while under the influence with a child in the car does allow for a second offense to be treated as a felony. I'm not sure this does sort of mix the two provisions. It mixes a driving while under the influence with a boating under the influence with a child in the car. So I don't really feel strongly one way or the other in terms of whether that's appropriate or not, but I just want the body to be clear about when that enhancement would apply. So that enhancement would apply if you have a previously driving a boat under the influence with a child or a previous driving a vehicle with a child in the car. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Zwanister Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And really, I think the real policy question here is, ladies and gentlemen, is if you have your family out boating on the lake this weekend, do you want to have some sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling that the fellows that are out driving around on the lake while you're there are under the influence or not under the influence? And you need a deterrent to make sure that happens. And it's a tough situation, guys. So a policy question. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
this kind of risk associated, or are we ready to raise the personal responsibility a little higher so that when we have kids on water skis up against a racing boat going 100 miles an hour, is that something that we want to penalize further? So I'm conflicted on the now on the felony part, but I would ask you to resist this amendment. If we would choose to do something else on third reading, we can. But I would propose to you that boating and drinking is a very serious problem. Our lakes and our even a lake out by where I live that was a sleepy fishing lake has become covered with speedboats, and a lot of things are going on that are safety hazards. And so I just put that before you as a body, ask you to resist the amendment, vote for the bill, and thank you very much.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, folks, we know what big boats are, but the average boat, say, on that reservoir up in the middle of the state where I go boating, is between a 5 to 20 outboard trolling motor, and the guys are out there fishing all day. And quite honestly, with the new rules and regs that the state parks have instituted, the number of boats on that particular reservoir have gone down by more than half. And so you go out there now, and it's actually kind of nice and pleasant because it's not too busy, and mostly you got a bunch of fishermen out there who are just doing their recreational fishing. And, you know, statistically, I tried to find it out yesterday, but I couldn't find it. But my impression over time is that there are less and less accidents, and there's more trolling supervision on the major lakes. And so even though you can use one incident, you know, to sensationalize things, but my experience is there are less folks out there. There are less folks out there who are imbibing and misbehaving. And, we've got some wonderful reservoirs out there, and I just don't think you want to raise this to the level of someone driving 100 miles an hour down the freeway. It's just not the same thing. And so I move for your support.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 40. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 40 has passed. House Bill 40, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 41 from the Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 42 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to government expenditures.
House Bill 42, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 43. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 43 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 47 from Representative Reeder, an act relating to refugee resettlement.
House Bill 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 48. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 48 from Representative Reeder, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 48, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 49 from Transportation, an act relating to abandoned vehicles.
House Bill 49, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 50 from the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
There is an amendment. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 50 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, when we brought up House Bill 19, the assessment bill, I brought in this language that basically, well, you can read it. It says, prior to the Legislative Service Office contracting with any consultant under this section, a vote shall be taken of the Joint Education Interim Committee to provide their recommendation regarding any proposed contract. So it would just put JEC in the loop when consultants are hired. Basically, Management Council does the hiring. We would just be providing a recommendation. And this is for education, and you can look at it in that section of the bill if you would like.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Out of respect, I'll just keep calling you Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question for my vertically challenged friend from Sublette County. I understand this. Just so the sequence is right, the Joint Education Committee will make the recommendation. LSO will then begin the process, and a Management Council approves it. Just let me understand the process on that, please.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to even comment on the indignity that I suffered at the mic a minute ago. So the way this happens is LSO would probably gin up a contract for a consultant, and we, JEC, would then review that contract, and we would make a recommendation to Management Council whether that contract would occur or not. So that's how the process would work.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50 has passed. House Bill 50 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 54 from Labor, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 54 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 57 from Labor, an act relating to public welfare.
There is an amendment. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, you'll recall when we had a discussion and lecture on upper payment limit for private hospitals. We talked about the penalties for hospitals who, once they enter into the agreement, they decide that they want out. And in the penalties, one of the potential penalties was that they would be suspended or revoked the privilege of the hospital's license. This amendment would delete that. So if they got into the agreement, didn't want to play anymore, there would be some other penalties, but it certainly wouldn't revoke the private hospital's license. And I would move that amendment. I would move it right now, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone for their first time? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 57. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 57 has passed. House Bill 57 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 58. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 58 from Judiciary, an act relating to human trafficking.
House Bill 58 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 62 from Representative Miller, an act relating to the Wyoming Money Transmitter Act.
House Bill 62 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 63 from Labor, an act relating to hospitals and health care facilities.
House Bill 63 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 69 from Representative Escobel, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
There are amendments. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move House Bill 69, second reading amendment number 1, and ask for your favorable consideration. Just bringing up one of the issues that I brought up during the Committee of the Whole, which is to say the public indecency portion of this and adding that into exemption. If you turn to page 5, after line 20, we insert another exemption. As G, an act which is unlawful under Wyoming Statute 64-201 is your public indecency, and that deals with situations such as a person is guilty of public indecency if while in public place, where he may be reasonably expected to be viewed by others, performs an act of sexual intrusion, exposes his intimate parts, and further goes along that I really don't want to read too much into, but the public indecency, I think, fits with this piece of legislation well, and I'll stand for questions.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Representative Escobel.
My contention is that if you're guilty of public indecency, then how can you be a victim where you expect privacy? And to me, it contradicts what the legislation is trying to accomplish. So I would ask for a rules.
Point of order being called. The chair will convene a meeting of the Rules Committee at the dais, please.
Thank you.
Come down here for one thing and go back to my office.
I should. We know
that's a shared calendar.
Pursuant to ruling from the Rules Committee, the point of order raised as to this amendment is denied. Now, we're back on the amendment. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment doesn't help or hurt the bill one way or the other. My contention to the point of order was really that in a case of someone posting an image that was expected to be private by the victim, so the case that we brought up at the desk was urinating in public. If someone's doing that, they're guilty of a crime already. If someone goes by and takes a picture of someone urinating in public, then puts that on the internet, you know, the person's already guilty of public indecency. So I think it's a redundant statute. I still contend that it's not going to hurt the bill. So I guess vote your conscience, and then the lawyers and the prosecutors, when they get together on this, it might convolute it a little bit, but vote your conscience.
Representative Crone, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question for the bringer of the amendment. Is the concern that someone would be charged both under the public indecency statute and under the, if this were to pass, under the dissemination of images statute? Because I just don't see that being a likely event based on the same fact pattern. So that's the question for the bringer. And I just don't think, unless that's the concern, or if it's the concern, I just don't think that's necessary language for page 5. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor?
I'm hybrid.
Representative Esquivel, do you want a second time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And primary concern in regards to this piece of legislation has to do with your private property rights while in public. I mean, realistically, we're talking about such things as your personal vehicle. It can be on a public roadway. And if you're doing things that could be considered public indecency in your private vehicle on a public roadway, technically, you could get hit twice. The person taking the picture, the person actually doing the act, might be the same person. Basically put, I don't want to see people getting written up for something that they're doing in public, and they know they're in public, and it's wrong, and yet they've got a defense against that. So, in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69 has failed. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House Bill position number 69 and ask for your second amendment, ask for your favorable consideration. So, folks, if you have the bill in front of you, I want you to just kind of think about and walk through this with me a little bit. And the amendment is actually pretty simple. First of all, you have to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about an image on a computer or a film or something like that. So this amendment does three different things. The first, in terms of disseminate, which is on page 2 on a definition of disseminate, what this does is, if you have it, say, a picture of your partner on your cell phone, and you show it to someone in private, so you're at your house and you just happen to show it to someone in private, that's not a publication, and that's not making accessible to the whole world. And so that instance, and I don't know if this bill was intended to make that unlawful and illegal, but it does. And so the first change on page 2, line 3 says that private private, I think, display is not, can't be a misdemeanor and then later on a felony when it's simply not published to the world or anybody else. But obviously, if you pass it to someone else, that's a different story that then when it becomes published. So the first part is pretty easy. Then let's go down to Romanet 2 on the explicit sexual conduct. What we do here is we take out bestiality. And I would submit, folks, that if you're filmed in that type of an act, you're committing a crime, and someone's filming you, and if you are then put on the internet to the world, you deserve to have it, number one, put out to the world. It's a criminal act, and you shouldn't have any personal privacy right to an act of when you're violating the law. And so that just shouldn't be as part of the definition. And then to me, that's a whole different game than what we're trying to do here. And that also argument works with the sadistic acts and the masochistic acts. But the other interesting thing about the sadistic acts, masochistic acts, we don't even know if there are intimate parts revealed in those because they're non-defined. And you can have a masochistic act where there is no nudity involved or there is no sexual intercourse involved because they stand alone the way it's written in this bill. And so that doesn't make sense to me. And number two, if you're filming those acts, then it's a deviant behavior that your right to privacy should be limited. Then the last note I add on page 2, line at 18, I think is where they put it in, is a underlying requirement or an element of the crime, and that is if you have these images or these videos of you and a ex relationship, then there's an obligation, and you know about it, you have an obligation to notify that other partner at the end of the relationship to formally notify them that please do not disseminate any of these things and please destroy them, and if you do so, it will be a crime. And so, in other words, you're putting everyone on notice that I consider those to be private, and if you put it on notice and then they still publish them, then they're guilty of the crime. So those are the three things that this amendment does, and I'd take any of your questions.
Representative Escobel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the bringer of this amendment because it gives us an opportunity to talk about something that we didn't discuss the other day about what this really leads to. So I'll use the analogy that was brought up the other day. The husband and wife, they split up. The husband has the image, uses it to exact revenge upon his ex-wife now by use of that internet. So this is where we get into the darkness of the issue, because he puts that out there for the world to see, but he also puts the name, the address, the phone number, and then that leads to cyber stalking. This is that guy that's up at 4:00 in the morning, sitting at his computer in his underwear with a pack of smokes and a bottle of whiskey, and he's looking for your daughter. All right? Now, that cyber stalker, now he has the name, the address, the phone number, and now it leads to physical stalking, and then it leads to physical sexual assault, and it leads to rape, it leads to murder. And there's a lot of stories out there like this, and I bet you all heard them. And this is where it begins, and that's why this is a crime. In 26 states, and 11 more are considering it right now. And it crosses state lines. It crosses county or country lines. So the amendment in the case of the S&M that the bringer of the amendment was talking about, a lot of those, they're wearing masks. You can't tell who it is. The final one about giving a written notice, I mean, obviously the first thing the ex-wife is probably going to do is contact her ex-husband and ask him, you know, WTF, man, what are you doing? So he's going to get notified by his ex-wife, and he's going to say, you know, you send me a text message, and I guess that's notification. I'm not real specific about how that notification would be given, whether it has to be a certified letter or just sending an email back to your ex-husband that he was notified that this image was supposed to remain private. But those are things you need to be aware of. And we are talking about a dark subject, and we are talking about things that what it leads to are horrific crimes. So,
Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide that amendment, Division 1 being lines 1 through 9, and Division 2 being 10 through 18.
The chair is going to rule us divisible. Which division you wish to proceed on first, Representative Clem?
Mr. Speaker, Division 1.
Okay, Representative Clem on Division 1 for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, just so we're clear, Division 1 being lines 1 through 9. I am on and in favor of this division. It deletes some of the ambiguity of the language, and it also, as it was mentioned a moment ago, doesn't give reasonable privacy expectations to illegal behavior. And so on and for Division 1.
Anyone else for the first time on Division 1? Question being called. We're voting on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 9 of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 passes. We're now on Division 2 of second reading amendment to House Bill 69. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Division 2, I would urge the body to vote no on this one. This one does give me a little bit of heartburn. This is a sticky situation, but really this puts the responsibility on the victim here. As it says down on line 16 of the amendment, the person received notice from the person depicted in the image that the image was intended to be private and should not be disseminated to a third party. So if you have some folks that are sharing these sexual pictures or taking a picture and sending it by text to a spouse or something, we're saying then that there has to be a disclaimer with each and every one of those pictures that this is supposed to be in private and it's not supposed to be spread around to anybody else. And I see that being problematic. And so I would urge the body to vote no on that division.
Representative Croker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in favor of this amendment, and again, this gets back to my primary concern. Keep in mind, these are images that the person voluntarily gave to someone else. And so I think it is appropriate to say if you're going to voluntarily give something to somebody and you don't want them to show it to someone else, I think it is appropriate to make sure that notification is in there, or when you break up, give that notification. It probably shouldn't need to be said, and like I said before, this is a vile and disgusting act, but at the same time, there is some personal responsibility involved when you're giving somebody nude pictures of yourself. I mean, it's something you need to be careful about, and so I think that this helps to clarify that, so please vote aye.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too am in favor of Division 2, and I think it really goes to the heart of the issue that we're dealing with. And, you know, I look around, and there's a lot of gray hair out here. And the fact of the matter, these are changing times. And I have younger children in their early 20s, you know, and so I see just some of this tail end. There really are different views of when we were all younger of these items. And it comes back to personal responsibility and good parenting and those types of issues that I know we all believe in. But from a legal standpoint, in looking at this fact that when someone sends an image, so we say with a reasonable expectation of privacy, and then it might be 6 months, 3 months, maybe a year later, then this revenge component comes in, which I agree is a problem. However, if someone gave that photograph or that image, and they really didn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy because there are changing views about sexuality in the United States, at the time they gave it, they didn't really have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But then down the road, because this comes out, and revenge works two ways, now all of a sudden, now it's very easy to say, well, I did have a reasonable expectation of privacy, to kick this in, to have the recourse. And so I just have a hard time reconciling that. And I'm not ready for this type of legislation because the unknowns of it are too much. I understand the bringer of the bill. I understand the problem. I understand the issue. But sometimes we do more harm trying to fix an issue than waiting and seeing what we can do and thinking it through a little further. So this amendment does one thing. It does make it very clear. If someone receives one of those images and maybe had the idea that, hey, you know, I'm to go share this with my friends, or there's no problem with sharing it with my friends. And then down the road, that becomes a problem. All of a sudden, now I'm a criminal. At least when that relationship is broke up and you send a notice, and you say, hey, you know, our relationship is done. You remember those pictures? I need them back. You can't share them. At least we've got some clear line to help bring some balance to this proposed legislation. So I'm in favor of Division 2.
Representative Escobel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think with this Division 2 and the amendment, what you're going to see is more work for lawyers, because now it's part of splitting the sheets now. It's just another clause in a divorce. And so when they decide what are the expectations of the divorce, then that's probably going to be something that's going to be written in that decree. But the part about where they're going through the divorce, though, you know, I think that's where part of that gray area is, though, because that's usually when the two parties are the most upset with each other, and that's when people do things that they shouldn't do. And if it's a law, then they'll know. You know, the first time, you get a slap on the wrist, and then they'll know this is something you don't do. And then the restraining orders go out. And then if they do it again, then it's going to be a stiffer fine. It's going to be a stiffer penalty. And I'm sure young kids out there are doing things that they shouldn't do, but this is something that leads to more serious crimes.
Representative Winters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I so don't want to have to talk about this, but in my other life, I do deal with individuals who are going through difficult times in their marriages, and terrible things do occur, sadly, between those different sides. And I would just like to hear from the bringer of this amendment about the victim in this situation. We've talked about a lot of different scenarios, but in this situation, let's say that there is an individual who has been victimized, say, by their spouse, and finally has broken free from that situation, and maybe they're in a different location, trying to get some help from outside entities. And now we're asking them to make contact again with the person that victimized them. And I would like to just know a little bit more detail about how that individual could be kept safe in that situation. And I just have some concerns with number two. I'm not voting for or against right now. I just want to know a bit more detail because I am concerned about the victim.
Representative Swanser Dan, Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm this awkward thing. I don't know which way to vote because I don't think I agree with anything I've heard so far, except maybe the good representative from Worland, who I think has it right that this is an area that it's new and the discussion I hear isn't quite on the amendment. So a couple of questions. In my mind, if you have a marriage contract and you're going to get a divorce, I mean, you could have a clause. It's really easy. I have the two issues I guess I have. Let's talk about the relationships that last a week or 2 weeks or a month. Or that, you know, don't ever even get classified as the actual relationship. It's we're kind of casually dating and, you know, some alcohol happens or any number of things and you start having photos. How does that work when you don't really have any expectation you're in a relationship? And my second question, and this one really bothers me, what happens if you don't know there's an intimate image? Let's say you got photos taken, and I'm sure it's probably a crime in another statute, but how does that apply to this that you don't even know their image is out there of you to ask the other person to say, hey, you can't share those. And so if someone could answer those two questions for me, that would help my mindset on the amendment.
Representative Conley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this portion of the amendment, friends, without even getting to the whole marriage contract issue, if you just look at page 3, what this does is add a fourth criteria before an individual can be found guilty of the crime. So the first is that there has to be an intentional dissemination. Second, that it has to be done where the circumstances, where the depicted person had a reasonable expectation of privacy. A third is that the person should have known that the image, that the person didn't consent. And now we're adding a fourth, that there be explicit notice. That is way too much in terms of the what this bill is intended to do and the ability to find a perpetrator guilty of it. Again, this adds in that there has to be explicit notice after those first three elements are already met. So on and against.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the good chairman of corporations' question about how will the victim know, well, I'll go back to the letter that I passed out to you in Committee of the Whole. She had 32 phone calls in 20 minutes. She's going to know that picture's out there, and she's going to call the cops. And the victim should call the cops. She should not be having to contact the person that put these images on the Internet. And it was more likely someone that has in the past, made a threat to her. So I would say vote no on Division 2.
Representative Nicholas, I'm going to let you go next and let Representative Clem have the last word because he was the divider.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, let's talk about the marriage issue that was raised up from the good House member, where the springs are hot. If you have a marital relationship and then that becomes fractured and you go through divorce or something like that and there are images, then it's a really simple issue because then that will go into the court proceedings and you just file as part of your divorce request and separation agreement that any illicit pictures not be disseminated and they be destroyed. And I don't think there'll be a judge in the world that would not agree with that and follow through with that. And it would be, you know, someday this may be part of one of those general orders that says that all intimate pictures must be eliminated or whatever. I mean, that's really not an issue for this. And it's easy to resolve. The notice has more to do with those intimate relationships that are not in a marriage. But and either are short-lived or long-lived, and maybe even have children. But the question is, at what point in time does it become a crime to disseminate those photos? And what the notice requirement is, look, if you've got photos and if you're aware of photos, then all you need to do is put that person on notice. And you can do that through your lawyer. You can do it through your counselor. You can do it through an email. You can do it through a certified letter. There's lots of different ways you can do it. We don't specify in this what notice is because that may become onerous on how that notice is disseminated. So it's intentionally left as an open thing. And all they have to do to prove the crime, to prove that last element, is tell the prosecutor, I gave this person notice, and I did it by email or by this or this. And then it's the judgment call on the prosecutor on whether notice was given and whether he believes that person or not. So it's really not a overly burdensome, and it certainly doesn't tax that individual. And actually, if they have a police department or somebody serve the notice, it would be wonderful because then they would recognize what the law is, and that would kind of give them a heads up on that deviant behavior of shipping out the photographs. And remember, if you do this twice, if you send a photo out on Monday and under this act, and then you send another photo out 2 weeks later, you're now guilty of a felony and up to 2 to 5 years in prison. And so I think that's a pretty doggone severe, draconian effort if you're sending out something that you both agreed to take at one point in time. So making it one more step just isn't all that big of I don't think too much of a burden. Part of the problem with a bill like this, you spend the weekend, you go through it, and you start developing all of the problems and issues that arise in the language. And at the end of the day, what I come to is this ought to go through an interim bill through judiciary and have the sheriffs come and testify on it and do lots of things. But if we can't do that, if we're going to pass this bill, let's make it as tight as we can and as specific as we can to protect folks. And honest folks, the guy that's in his shorts and drinking whiskey at 5 o'clock in the morning is going to be a perpetrator no matter what. This isn't what this is talking about. These are about young kids who make silly mistakes, and the guys that go to prison are going to go to prison that deserve to go. So let's just be not use those type of single type situations to make our determinations.
Anyone else for their second time before the divider? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I definitely agree with some of the remarks about personal responsibility, and I think there should be some personal responsibility. But I approach this, I guess, in my mind from the stance of natural law. Natural law teaches us that it's shameful, at least for most people, to stand out in a public place naked. I mean, we just don't see that, I guess, except maybe in the West Coast and some beaches. But yeah. But natural law teaches that it's a shame to stand out in public naked or to have naked pictures of yourself disseminated in public. There is, contrary-wise, I would suppose, it's not so much of a shame if you are in an intimate relationship and you are sharing, I guess, naked photos with a partner. And I guess that's where I approach this, is from the point of natural law. So if I share a photo, I don't want to put myself in this example. If someone shares a photo with an intimate partner consensually, and then that relationship breaks up, and then again, this spouse in retaliation shares this with the world. It's a shame. And a person has now been victimized. And natural law requires that those who have been victimized, that there be justice, there be reparations. And therefore, that's why I stand on and against this amendment, because I think it puts too much responsibility on the victim. Natural law teaches it already that it's a shame to be out in the public naked, or to have naked photos of yourself out in the public. We wouldn't want that. We wouldn't like that, at least most people. And so therefore, that's why I stand on it against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And with that, I would call for the question.
We're voting on Division 2, which is lines 10 through 18, of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69, All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 has failed. House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. today.
Committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet in 5 minutes. And I forgot the room number, but you know where it is. To consider Senate File 2, Attorney General Opinions, Senate File 10, Firearms Exemption from Execution, and Senate File 103, At-Will Employment Contracts.
Chairman Juan of Sudan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet 5 minutes upon noon recess in H-37 to hear Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions, Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act, and Senate File 30, Initiative Review Process.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in House 37 to hear three bills, Senate File 44, obsolete statutory language on health care, Senate File 57, engrossed, and Senate File 45, engrossed.
Chairman McKim.
Here we go. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to in room H36 to discuss Senate File 31, the Omnibus Water Bill.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet in approximately 15 minutes over the noon recess to hear Senate File 36, LLC Member Manager Liability, and any other referred bills from this morning.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet today upon adjournment in room House 38 to hear two bills, SF-15, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility, and SF-32, Alternative School Accountability.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just a quick reminder, the ITC is giving an update on their status in room L-51, and rumor has it that Meatloaf, L-54, and it will involve Meatloaf and a slab of apple pie.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We stand in recess until 2 o'clock p.m.